Francine, and I invited him.
Recording is on.
Listen in on the call to get some insight on how the process works.
Excellent. Welcome, Isaac.
Welcome. Sorry, quick question. The scribe issue was 2 weeks ago, not last week, right? Last week there was no call?
It's every week.
You're right. 2 weeks ago. I missed last week and totally blanked. Okay.
Cool. I will be scribing today then. Unless it looks okay, but I'll just correct it as we go. That's probably it.
Okay. Yeah, that works too. The last one could have used some in-depth review and changing. I think at one point it had Ori swearing at us. Somewhat humorous.
Well, Ori doesn't swear like a sailor anyways, but not the way the transcriber wrote it.
Okay. Sorry, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I'm ready to start if you guys are ready.
We have Paul on the line. Paul, if you don't mind introducing yourself to the bigger group.
Yeah, there, I'm Paul Dietrich. I'm from GS1 US in their innovation team, and we've been kind of doing some experimenting and proof of concepts with verifiable credentials and want to explore how to use them in traceability.
Sounds awesome. Good.
Welcome, Paul.
Are you in the CIS space? Is that something you work with?
I am not on the standard side. So GS1 US has a bunch of different groups, and I'm on the innovation side of that. I don't work super closely with EPCIS, but I'm certainly following what's going on there with 2.0.
Cool. What, you wouldn't happen to have been at IIW, were you? There were a few GS1 US folks there.
Yeah, I've been at several of those. The last one I had COVID, so I couldn't make it there, but there were folks from the U.S. standards group. So that's standards. I think Andy was probably there.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And also folks from the GS1 innovation team were there too, or the IT team. I think we engaged our IT team recently to build some verifiable credential-based prototypes, so it's getting to be a larger group at GS1 U.S.
Cool. Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's get started. So standard IP note for these meetings, as anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Information about and links to the required license agreements can be found in the meeting agenda, which was linked above. So this is a Trace Interop week. So as usual, we will begin with Trace Interop pull requests in this recently updated order. The first pull request is PR number 399. This one is opened by NIST, and if I understand it correctly, the next move here was a separate. Oh, I don't. I'm thinking of something else. NIST, why don't you take this one away?
Why do you start on 399? That's kind of.
I sorted by least recently updated.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we can take it. We typically do that on issues, not on pull requests, but.
Ah, no, I think I got yelled at by Ted at one point for doing it the wrong way.
let's do it in the quote unquote normal order, because for pull requests, if we have merge conflicts, it's just fair that the, you know, last one in gets to solve or resolve the merge.
Okay. And normal order is that sort by oldest?
382.
Okay. Very good. Then let us begin with 382. This one is first.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was taking out the status code from the body, so you just get the status code. It's kind of redundant. We debated it a little bit. I think there was an issue where we talked about it also, and Chris, you helped me out on just updating it the right way. I updated it on the OpenAPI spec rather than the test itself. So, yeah, I think we. Kind of got there.
Awesome. Yeah. It looks like we have three reviews, and I do remember this one. And this one looks good to me. So if we have no objections, I will go ahead and merge 382. Merging now. And that is complete. So the next issue in our list is one of a set of issues. This one is mine. And this is related to removing the use of also known as, because we now have the service endpoints to figure out where issuers are, where to go for presentation endpoints. And we also are using did web for resolution and discovery, and we've dropped did key support. So these sets of tickets are for removing all of the various references to also known as from the different parts of the repo. The first one happens to be cleaning up the open API spec. So I've got two approvals here. Looks like Mike and Ori have not had a chance to do so. Ori did put in a change request to update the respec doc, but there is actually a separate PR that handles that.
Yeah, and Ori has a conflict right now. I just pinged him in chat, but not sure if he's looking.
Got it. Yeah, I requested a new review from him not too long ago, so he probably just didn't have time to do it yet. So I'm happy to leave this one as is and come back so that Ori can remove his change request.
Formally, we have two approvals.
I think we should be able to merge this considering there's a second PR for the README, for the respec document stuff. I don't think this is a big, that should be a blocker.
Okay.
If anyone disagrees, worst case, we can say we can async merge this, but this should not wait another week.
I agree with that. I think we should push ahead. And that would be in Ori's spirit anyway.
Okay. In that case, I will go ahead and merge pull request number 390. And that has been merged. So the next one in the list is 391. This is part of the same set of tickets, and this is for modifying the conformance suite to remove references to also known as. Again, we have two reviews, and this is a rather small change in that instead of going to also known as and selecting the element at index one to determine where we should, what we should use as a credential issuer, now we simply use the ID from the DID document. And given that we have two approvals, I suggest we go ahead and merge this. If there are no objections, I will merge PR 391. Merging now.
It may be small, but it's important, and it's very positive we're doing this.
Excellent. So that is merged. The next one in the list is 392, and this is the same sort of thing, but this is from the interop tests. And this one touches a lot more files because we used to do a lot of testing to make sure that the also known element was present in a DID document and that it conformed to the right length and had the right contents. We no longer need to do that since we're not using it. So there's a lot of removals and updating of documentation in this PR. And this one has got three approvals. Thank you, Ness. And if no one objects, I'll go ahead and merge pull request 392. Merging now. PR 392 has been merged. And the next one is 396. So PR396. This is for making the type property of the credential status node when credential status is present in the options object when posting to credentials issue. So this is different than other use of credential status in the status update endpoint. Ori had indicated that this was a breaking change on your side at Transmute. I wasn't really clear how that could be, so I wanted to ask for some clarification that didn't get entered. And then Ori subsequently asked for a lot more information that Mahmoud was kind enough to add in here regarding how this is treated in various other APIs. We still have a change request in here from Ori. And Mahmoud has an additional change request that has not been addressed. Mahmoud, can you clarify what you mean there? Are you suggesting that these should be the same shape in the same way that Ori suggested that?
What I'm suggesting is basically you're modifying one of two places where credential status.type may exist. Those should both be reasonably in sync. What I did was I went through the VCAPI credential issue, the trace credential issue, and I compared them, and they looked essentially identical except for the fact that we require revocation list 2020, which was agreed upon in a prior PR, right? And the VCAPI credential status update and the trace credential status update are also identical, except for, again, the revocation list 2020 status. So we have precedents to require type in other places that is more restrictive than the VCAPI. I think this is a good place. The only reason I'm doing a change request is because I would like you to do it in both those places. If there's another PR that will tackle the other place, I'm happy to remove my change request, but I don't want it to be lost. And I think this is a small enough change that it should probably go in the same PR.
I agree with you. I think that we should hold off on this. I'll add a comment to modify the other place where credential status type is relevant and make it required there. Bear with me a moment. Punt that until next week. Okay. The next issue in our list, pull request, is 399. And this one is misses, and I believe this is the one I was thinking of earlier where our next step, oh my gosh, I got it wrong again. I apologize. Just carry on.
All right. Well, this is introducing the discovery that we have on interop, but not on conformance. We basically, Chris, the way you've designed the conformance test is based off a non-tenant kind of setup, which doesn't work for us, and we have to support both, obviously. So this is to just do the same thing that we do on interop, and based on off the same secrets. Whether that is the right approach, I'm totally open for input on that. But it's just literally copying what we're doing on interop.
So I'm looking at the ticket, and I think we discussed this two weeks ago, where we suggested that the proper order of operations here would be to first modify the respec before we PR on this. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, that's right. That's right. We do want a nice picture of what's going on.
So the question then is, should we merge this or should we hold off on that? And I also this particular set of tests in the conformance is set up so that each request is a full, sort of a full conformance test. And this change would make it so that two requests, are required to be set up in Postman like that versus putting something in the utils in order to get in cache, the DID document, which I think might be a better approach.
Probably, if you say so.
I think the main thing here is the DID URL or the DID web, you know, resolved URL could be arbitrary. The, you know, the service presentation endpoint could be arbitrary. Everything else should probably just be an API based URL. But I think that's something we will want to confirm and have a nice picture on the respec document to be able to ground ourselves to make sure we're looking at a picture when we make these decisions.
Okay. So it sounds like, consensus for the moment is perhaps we should wait for the respec to be completely updated before we continue discussion on this PR.
Yes.
Yeah, and be more than happy to keep reminding me if I forget to draw a picture.
Yeah,
need to think draw a picture for that.
Yeah, let's huddle on that.
Ben, if you don't mind, can you go through what the transcriber wrote about the? I missed what you said about. I'm pretty sure it wasn't you know in a bunch of places. If you could just sub that in with the right word, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, on my own transcribe.
Yeah.
And Chris, if there's a better way to, like, technically do what I'm hinting at here, I'm very open to.
I think, you know, you hinted at this, earlier in the ticket, but if we, right now we're making calls to, I think to JSON or the resolution in a number of places versus just caching it, and doing it once. And I think we may want to combine that with, you know, using that cache value to get the endpoint as you've done here. I think that needs a little bit of thought. I'm not really prepared to give you a full answer on that at the moment.
Cool. Yeah. And if we end up killing this PR altogether, that's also fine.
Okay.
Need something.
Fair enough. Cool. All right. So let's carry on. And our next PR is 400. And this one is a little bit longer than some of the other ones. This is a work in progress to add conformance testing on the credentials verify endpoint. And this one was interesting because part of the problem we ran into was you can't really mutate a credential that's a VC and send it as is and expect it to fail because the values in the VC portion are not conformant, because what you've done is invalidated the signature on that VC. So although you may be getting a failure response, you may be getting it for the wrong reason. So I had to write a script that would actually create bad VCs and put valid signatures over them and then send that and use that in the test. And there's a little bit of back and forth in the comments with some of the folks from Digital Bazaar on how to best accomplish that. And we got most of the way towards it. Some of the tests are not running in that way because you can't really modify a type property or parts of the context in certain ways and still be able to sign over that credential. So while those may fail because the signature is bad, they do still fail. So that's a bit of something that needs to be addressed at some point. This is a work in progress on the negative testing for credentials verify. It doesn't include any of the positive testing. That being said, I think we should still merge this in order to progress in the right direction and to start being able to have smaller PRs for this topic.
Yeah. So I'm on queue just to talk a little bit about this for a second. I think this is a wonderful start. I think this is something that's super important. I absolutely share your frustration about how hard it is to create wrongly signed things, which is a very nice, like, it's a wonderful, you know, thing to do. Like, our guardrails are so good, it's really hard to make something wrong, but it's also frustrating to test it. I know that on the Digital Bazaar side, they are doing this test on the VC API test suite, which I think you linked to. I don't know if so this is the VC API verifier test suite. Yeah, you've linked to it. And I don't believe there's been any movement on that. The one point that I would like to make is on a comment that I made, which was obviously around things that won't resolve. I think in tests where it may fail for a different reason, we should not provide that. Like, we should not provide the opportunity to fail for a different reason, right? A lot of implementations, I am assuming, will check if the issuer is resolvable, right? And they, I mean, right now ours doesn't, but I can see a point in time where it will. And so if it is not a resolvable issuer, we may simply say this VC is not valid, right? For the meaning behind it rather than for the signature. And so in these tests, if at all possible, I would like us to use an issuer that will always work. Maybe this could be a good use case for a DID key because we know that it wouldn't be dependent on any one implementation. We can have the private keys in the spec itself. We can have everything directly here. And so it will straight up be a DID, like it will straight up be a signature failure versus some other field that may be getting validated failing.
Yes, Bhagwat, I agree with you 100% and had actually meant to respond to that comment earlier, but some of my current tests have substituted that with DID key because that actually fails because verification method controller doesn't match issuer.
Okay, and then these tests are targeted, right? So like it should be, it's one failure per test and the test failure is very specific to the cost.
It currently is expecting a 400 response. I would like to open a new PR to differentiate between 400 for bad schema format and 400 for bad signature.
Okay, so we would have bad schema, wrong or altered term, and then wrong issuer, and issuer does not match proof. So a set of requests like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
That issue does not exist yet, but it's on my list of things to do.
Okay.
So, sorry, Chris, I may have missed your point about DID key. Are you saying you can't use it because the issue would be different from the proof?
No. I'm saying we definitely ought to use it. You're 100% correct. But in addition to your reasoning that it won't resolve, we also need to make sure that the controller on the proof matches the issuer.
Okay.
And using DID key solves both of those issues. So I propose that we merge this, create a new issue to ensure that DID key is used, and let that be a separate PR.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I don't think this should be I think I put it as a comment on an approved thing. I don't think this is not something that I'm blocking PR.
Okay. Then let us merge this.
Wait, in terms of process, can we create the issue, link the issue, and then merge it?
Absolutely. I'll go ahead and create that now. Okay, that comment has been added. Does that look good to you, Benjamin?
Need to refresh the page. Wait, did you add it to the end?
I added it in the conversation regarding the use of DidKey for Mockcode.
Sorry, I'm expecting to see this issue was referenced. Oh, 404 with track the change? Okay, you did it in the thread rather than on the end. Okay, found it. Sounds good.
All right. If there are no further objections or discussion topics, I will go ahead and merge PR 400. Merging now. All right. And the final one is the last of the also known as tickets. This is number 403. And this is for updating the respec doc to remove one small reference to also known as that I believe was in one of the examples. This was very recent and as such has no reviews except for NIST. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Given that this is a small removal, I would like to merge this. Thank you, Mahmoud. If there are no objections, I'll go ahead and merge 403. And that is merged. And that is it for PRs for trace interop. So let's go ahead and move to trace vocab. There are three PRs here. List is pasted in the chat. The first PR is a draft by NIST, PR 563. NIST, do you want to comment on this one, or is it still too new?
Let me see. You're moving too fast here.
Oh, this was updating. No, we definitely want to merge this. It's tiny little details on the node test report. The example values in that identifier field. So I added that. It's about as small as they come.
Quick note here. The example is not normative, as far as we've all been talking, right? The example is just, hey, this is how we're using it. In this case, you can put half of these observation values. You can put, you know, most of them. You can put anything like that, right? Unless I misunderstood. This example is a modification of the steel product, the modifications you've made are in the steel product in the mill test report certificate. So do you probably want to modify the steel product itself as well?
Is that missing also?
I don't know. I haven't. I mean, it was in draft, so I didn't actually review it. I just looked at it now.
This is in observation. I don't think it's in steel product, but I'm just thinking.
I could be just misreading. I'm looking at JSON on a GitHub thing. There's no. It's hard to see nesting here.
No, you're right. It is on the steel product. Sorry, you are right. If it's also missing in steel product, then we would want to add that too. I'll just check that.
Okay.
It's a while back I did this, or it's a few days and my brain is already on, but I probably checked. Let me see. In any case, it should be good to merge in any case.
I am concerned about the change to package lock. Was that intentional?
No, But we should be committing that also, right? I try to not to, but I'm not.
I mean, we certainly should commit it when it changes, but a change to the YAML file should not have updated package lock.
It could be out of sync or NIST if you ran something else in the file. I try to be paranoid when I update package lock. I do a re-clone from main, I hit NPMI, and if anything changes, then I push package that lock. Otherwise, I generally avoid doing it. So in this case, again, for NIST, I'm just echoing Chris's concern. I would not expect package that lock to change. Unless it was, it's out of sync.
No, I try to also not. So can we, do you mind just explaining to me why it's even there, why it's not Git ignored?
Well, because package lock actually records specific installed versions, of all the packages. So, you know, if you install a package and in the package JSON, you say, I want, you know, version 3.0.0 with a little carrot in front. You know, there are a range of options for satisfying that request, and the package lock records which one was used so that everyone installing this will get exactly the same package, even though the semver string could possibly resolve to several different versions. So it's a mechanism for making sure that multiple developers on different machines all have the exact same thing installed.
Okay. So looking through this, I don't know why this got generated, and I agree with you. We should not include that. How about I make a fresh PR with just the mil test changes and I merge that later today?
I would just revert the package lock changes. The only reason I'm saying that is because I was about to put in two comments on this PR because I just went through the Steel product. And there's very, very minor nitpicks around this. But, I mean, if you close this PR, then just make sure you look at
the comments. No, go for it. I'll find a way to make
it. Well, I mean, there's only one commit for, I guess undo that one commit and then add in just the mech part.
If I can second tell, Steel product itself looks okay.
I just linked two points where it is a little bit different. The name, one is ISO 13520:2021. The one you just added is without that :2021. Probably a good idea to have the same, like, naming scheme for both of those, right? And the second property, the bend property, this does not exist on the example in the other Steel product. So it's probably just, I don't know if you wanted it to be on both. I didn't know if you wanted it to be prescriptive. I don't know exactly what you were looking for here. But I'm assuming because you're modifying the example fields, you probably want them all to be identical.
That was not, clearly, I did not have that ambition. What do you think? Is that?
I think it would be a good idea because, so I normally would not have looked at the example and been like, yep, these fields matter quite a bit because, these are observations, right? But because you're modifying them here, correct me if I'm wrong, I assume that you care about having an identifier for gauge length, right? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And so it's probably a good idea to have the same identifier here as the one in the Steel product, right? Because they're both pointing to gauge length and they both have different identifiers.
Mm.
So if somebody's using this vocabulary, they will be confused.
Yeah. Frankly, I don't think they will. I think 1352 with a year on it is just a more precise version of the same. I'm just being pedantic now, and I can totally, I don't think it matters, and I'm happy to align them.
I would appreciate it if you do align them.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Okay, then I suggest we move on. And are we agreeing that this should be merged once those issues are addressed, or would we like to hold off until next week?
I think I'm good on my end.
Okay. Okay, the next issue of PR, is 566. And this one is Woods. Lockwood, do you want to take this one away?
This is a wonderfully complicated PR that modifies like 5 characters. Actually I can't count. It's a bit more than 5. Our current deployed spec links to a test suite. That link is dead because the test suite is not on /test suite. It's on traceability-vcap/test suite. The only issue with this is that when served locally, it is on /test suite. I assumed we want to prioritize fixing the public facing spec than the local facing link, but I did this very quickly and I didn't know what a better fix would be, so it would work with both.
Is it also possible to modify the local suite to be at the same path?
Probably. We're serving it up using one of the, I'm trying to remember, it's serve that I think we're using in package.json. And I don't think we're serving it with a specific, so we need to modify that. But yeah.
Okay. Ori, you have the floor.
You can just make the path absolute to what it will be when it's hosted eventually, if you like. And then, you know, when you're testing it locally, you're not going to, those links won't work to the newest changes, but when it deploys, it'll work well. I've struggled with relative paths in respec that's built dynamically in a local versus deployed environment, and I tend to prefer absolute URLs just to avoid the issues. But what you have may work, I don't know.
It does. So what I have, I believe should work, but I can't test it until we do a deployment, and I'm happy to fix it if it doesn't work.
Yep.
But it will. Neither of them will work locally is the only issue I have.
Yep. Makes sense.
Okay. In light of that, I mean, it seems like we should merge this once. We have no official approvals. Or you want to tick that box?
Yes. So this is on 566?
Yes.
Yeah. Approved.
Excellent. I will go ahead and merge PR566. And that is merged. The final PR is PR579 from NIS.
Yep.
Go ahead, NIS.
This is some more of the undefined terms. I wonder if it's the last ones. Probably not, but we're getting there. Some of them are just straight up bugs, probably some kind of copy-paste bugs. Others are things that have been just pushed when it was done initially, and others still are the organization entity and location aspect. So those three sources, and I think it's relatively uncontroversial.
Okay, we have a number of approvals. Unless there are any objections, I am in favor of merging this pull request. And merging now. And that is merged, and that is it for pull requests on Trace WoCab. So let us return to Trace Interop and review issues. Okay, issues in least recently updated order is posted into the chat. And the first issue is 359. This one is mine. Bear with me a moment while I review why I put a blocker on this. So this issue itself is simply to track the conformance testing for the credential status endpoint. And it looks like this should no longer be blocked because the blocker is closed. So I'll remove the blocked label from this. And I believe this can be ready for PR. And I will assign myself since I am working on this stuff at the moment. Okay, the next issue is issue 307. Benjamin, this was opened by you. This is assigned to me regarding adding our tutorial style documentation to the OAuth version of the presentation exchange. I have still not had a chance to work on this. This, to be honest, has been taking a backseat to writing conformance tests. If we feel like this should have a higher priority, then I'll need to bow out and someone else will need to take this one on.
No, I'm okay with this having less priority than the conformance test.
Okay.
This is more an observation than anything.
Excellent. Next issue is 325.
Yeah, this is updating the OAS with traceable presentation. Mahmoud, I'm just reading your last comment there. I don't think we wanted to do that. I assume you mean verifiable presentation, but I think we want both, just like we do with verifiable credential and whatever type it is. I think it should be an add.
Yes.
It's intriguing.
The only reason I brought that up is I agree entirely with your statement. I probably should have put that in mine. I put that in to make sure that we cover all bases. But I absolutely agree with what you said.
Okay, cool.
Okay. To clarify, is this a situation where we're going to have one of and have it be either traceable presentation or?
No, it's just the type array.
Ah, I see. That was confusing for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can see why it could be.
And a comment. Would anyone like to take this one on?
I can give it a go.
Thank you, Nis. I will assign you.
I still behind.
Excellent. Okay, the next one is one that's been around a while. This is number 39. And it is in relation to selective disclosure credentials, currently blocked. The last substantive comment was from Brian or whatever regarding perhaps getting more information after the IETF conference, which was some time ago. Does not appear that anything has been added. Does anyone have any more information to add to this or suggest we close? I suggest we add pending close, and if it's still in the state next week, then we go ahead and close it. So pending close label has been added. Nice. And we can move on.
That's huge.
Close it one way or another. All right. The next issue.
While we're on the subject of this, at TPAC, there was a lot of excitement about SDJWT. Is anybody on the call interested in selective disclosure with SDJWT? Because we would close this BBS plus one and open a SDJWT one if someone was really excited about that.
It seemed interesting, but I think that there were a number of questions that were still open that I didn't know what the answers for. One of them was around mandatory fields for specific disclosures. That is to say, if you're going to disclose X field, you must also disclose Y field. I think this is something that we're reasonably interested in, and if anybody on the call would like to do interop on, that's something that sounds, you know, very positive. But I don't know, Ori, the status of that spec. I don't think it's done, is it?
No, it's not, but neither is the BBS Plus work that's going through CFRG. Yeah. Right now. So it's in the same kind of boat. If we want to have a discussion about it, I can open an issue to track.
Happy to do that. I think that sounds positive.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you, Ori. Next issue is from Mahmoud. This is number 363.
Yeah. I think this was just something that we talked about, but I don't know if we ended up doing or not. We didn't have a link to the Postman collection and the README itself. And it was probably a good idea to be able to find that hosted Postman collection there.
Agreed.
I thought we fixed it, but I don't see it, so I guess not.
I believe we added this as a placeholder after the fix to link to Postman suites in the individual tutorial documentation was completed, because we thought it best, as you said, to have a central link in the main README, and that has not been done yet. I will go ahead and assign myself. This should be fairly quick and easy.
Is it README or RESpec? I would rather have it in the RESpec.
I think it goes in both.
Right. This was initially created specifically for the README, but I don't disagree with you.
There might be another ticket for the README for the same thing.
Yeah, I just got for that on the thing.
Okay. Next issue is 330. And this is one that I opened some time ago. Just want to get reacquainted with this. This was open because I saw some comments on another issue in the VCAPI repo suggesting that perhaps credential status would be removed from the settable options for the credential issuer endpoint. This, I think our last conversation is that we're going to wait and see what VCAPI does, and perhaps not remove it. It seems like this may have some use as one of the options to send to the issuer endpoint when we're issuing a credential.
So I've surfaced this on the VCAPI thread. The manner responded and the logic behind removing it was that there could be an explosion of combinatorial explosion in options, right? And the idea is that some of them will not mix very well. So what if you ask for a VC to have a specific signature and a revocation list with a different signature, right? That may cause a huge burden on the issuers itself, right? Right now, I believe we're only supporting the VCJWT. WS Signature 2020 and 8519, and I don't think in our interop spec that is a big deal, but I can see how going forward this will cause an issue. I'm on the fence about this. I don't really think it's good or bad. I'm just that was a response from Manu and the group.
Okay. This one is interesting because this specific ticket is only for credential status.type, which must be a string, and it must be revocation list 2020 status. So there are other places where we have information, you know, about credential status that are not related necessarily. Like Benjamin pointed out that in the response from issuing a credential, you'll get a status that list some other items. I don't know if that's really relevant to this. I just wanted to point out that signature suite wasn't in there.
The logic was if you request it to be signed using a specific credential or something like that, right? It's just, yes, it's not in there now, mm-hmm. but I believe, and it's also true that the VC API does not have this stuff fully cleared up, right? There's a number of The VC API has a number of things that are a little bit in a mess right now, and this is definitely one of the objects, okay. and they're working on cleaning it up. Or I think you're on the queue.
Yeah, I think VC API is totally broken with respect to revocation lists right now for two reasons. The first is ambiguity around issuing a revocable credential. There's parallelism problem there because you're issuing credentials from a revocation list scheme that has a block, and the server needs to maintain sort of critical access to that block so that you're consuming the indexes in that block in a safe way. So if I send you 1,000 network requests and I ask for revocable credentials, that's going to consume 1,000 indexes, and they need to all be consumed kind of consistently, and you don't want two credentials to accidentally consume the same index and those kinds of issues. So when you request for a credential to be issued, you as a caller will not know what index you can ask for. So it's totally broken to ask the caller to guess what index they will be consuming. And instead, what you really need is to be able to say in your options, I want this credential to be revocable, and you, issuer, inject the right status and the right index block. And that all needs to happen in order to have the issuance process work successfully. And I believe that is all working with our API, but not in the VC API today. And then the other issue is that the revocation list needs to be hosted somewhere. So you have to have an API that hosts a credential that is a revocation list in order for this to be verifiable. And VC API doesn't define any endpoint for that, but we do in our API specification. And then finally, update credential status needs to take the ID of the credential that is revocable as an argument and flip the bit. And the issuing software would be needing to make sure that was handled critically. And again, our implementation and API spec does handle those cases here, and I'm not sure to what extent that is true of the VC API. And then finally, the VC API discusses status list 2021 as opposed to revocation list 2020, and we have not implemented support for status list 2021 because the context has not been frozen yet. So those are all of the issues with revocation between the VC API and the API that's defined under trace interop.
So I'm just going to respond to that really quickly. Just one note. on the issuer side, VC API and Trace API both align, and they both don't require to say which address you want to issue from. The requirement on the credential status is the type that you wanna, that you want it to be. So in this case, it would be Replication List 2020. And that is all. That's the only requirement, if I'm reading this correctly. And I think that's in the issuer. I'm gonna see if I can get the link right, because this stuff is not fun. But I think that's it. On your other points, 100%. I think that they're very, very valid and they're very real issues.
Do you mean the issuer ID is not required or is required?
Not the issuer ID. So in issue credential options, I'm going to put it in, I put it in the chat. If you look at credential status, it requires it only has a type property, and that is a string. It does not have an ID of where you want it to, like, the index that you want it to be issued to.
Correct.
That is not on the...
You can't know that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's both here and on the Trace API. I thought you said... So it used to be that way in the VC API, and this was fixed at some point.
Okay, that's good. I'm not up to date with all of the changes that happened there, but you know, the caller can't know what their index will be in the list is the problem.
Absolutely. But, absolutely. Right. There's also race conditions and all that fun
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. These need to be cleaned up. I don't know if we've tackled all of these. I think we have.
So Ben and Ness, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we cover these, interop tests that run daily. Is that correct? Indexes increment properly. This, revocation list status,
let me check.
2020 is used daily.
I'm just checking.
Guys, I apologize for jumping into the mid-conversation, but we are at time at this point.
All right.
Cool. We should end on time. This has been super good. Good job. Yeah.
Do we have a volunteer to post the minutes this week?
I can go ahead and do it. Not a problem.
Awesome. Thank you, Mahmoud.
Thank you.
And I'll see everyone next week for Trace Vocab Week.
Thank you, everyone.
Cheers. Thanks, Chris.